tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the king Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Another superstar goes down. Thursday night football once again in question. Week 10 is here, and we also bring along the return of Is Mike Lying with its true host, Michael Florio. All that and more.
He's coming back from IR.
He is. Yeah. He was designated to return. He makes his return tonight, or this morning. All that coming your way over the next 3 hours here on the Roto Experts. Following that, we're getting the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which will feature the Roto Experts Big Game Trivia Challenge, sponsored by DKMS. All the information is at rotoexperts.com/DKMS, where you could, you know, find out if you could be a bone marrow donor. You swab your cheeks, you send it in, and ultimately you may be able to go to the big game. We're trying to give you away 2 tickets on the Fantasy Football Frenzy today. We saw a couple people even get to round 3 and on target yesterday. It was very exciting.
Oh, really?
Wow, my goodness gracious. Oh,
lead off home.
My goodness gracious. I think it's a lead off, like, strikeout of 3 pitches is what that was. But nevertheless, a bunch of people got to round 3. They did not survive. And now we'll be on Corey Parson and Matt Modica to try to give tickets away.
Yeah, we're going to see what we can get done today. DKMS, FNTSY Radio, Big Game Challenge. So it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we can send somebody to the big game. Oh, yeah. Hopefully I can go to the big game.
That'd be cool. Yeah, you're going to go to the suite this weekend. Visit Dr. Ray.
Yeah.
Scott Angle, you the king. What's up, man?
You know, good to see the Seahawks win last night, but you know, came at a price. We'll talk about that, and I'm sure the fact that you know, there were several players injured on that side of the ball, but Arizona had their own injuries. And don't forget to go to sportsgrid.com and get your chance to win a Daniel Jacobs autographed boxing glove as they get ready for the fight tomorrow on HBO at the Nassau Coliseum.
Scotty, did you get injured watching the game last night? Just want to make sure you're healthy today.
Actually, I played a little Madden before that. My thumb, I think, questionable.
The carpal tunnel syndrome in there.
Yeah.
Matt Modica, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing much better than I was last night. Most of my leagues, I played Graham. In one of my big leagues, I did not. I went with Evan Engram. And that was not a good call.
No, it was not a good call. 2 touchdowns. It was actually crazy. 6 receptions, just 27 yards for Jimmy Graham. But he comes down with 2 touchdowns. We're going to get into that in just a moment. It wasn't just Richard Sherman that went down last night. The Cardinals left tackle DJ Humphreys tore his ACL. Doug Baldwin left with a groin injury. And last but not least, CJ Process left with an ankle injury. I wish I was making this up. I'm not. Take a break.
I told you that.
Cardinals, come up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
So the Seahawks do win this one in Arizona in the desert. They lose Richard Sherman. And it was nice to see Corey Russell Wilson hug Richard Sherman after that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure they're trying their best to put their differences aside, even though it may be difficult at times. But at least they can show face in the case of emergency.
I think Scott hugged his doll after that.
Actually, I have the dolls of both of them, and they were hugging each other. But, you know, that stuff that they don't get along is way blown out of proportion.
That's what we need to know.
Did not need to know. It was just like, it wasn't, it didn't seem so much as like love, like, oh my God. It was just like, all right, man, like.
Yeah, got to do it without you.
You're going to have to take it from here.
Pretty much, exactly. Yeah.
Look, I felt bad for him, and if you saw the post-game conference, you know, he got all emotional. Look, the guy was going out there week in, week out. He's been hurt for a while. The guy is a tremendous competitor, whether you like him or not. But and the fact that what I really like too is he stayed on the sideline the whole time. He didn't, you know, go right to the locker room and stuff.
I like that too.
Yeah,
that was cool.
He was actually like, you know, yelling things at the defense and stuff like that about coverages.
He probably has a future in coaching, you know, if he wants to do that.
I mean, he's a very smart guy. Yeah.
Really smart dude.
It was
really
funny what the announcers were saying, like every time he was arguing a penalty, which there were a million of, you know, it's like, oh yeah, he's going into lawyer mode. Like so many flags last night, but the Seahawks themselves were dressed like flags. So
I thought they looked awesome.
I love those jerseys. You know, yeah. I have one of them. I think they're great. But
what does everybody think of replay? I mean, honestly,
I love replay. We're in 2017. Why do we not want to get the call right?
I think the way it's done is like terrible.
That doesn't bother me.
Just be a guy watching it, like buzzing the ref and saying, "Look, that was wrong."
Well, they do in college, right? Like they buzz him down. He just stands there in the middle of the field as they watch it. And he just,
yeah. I mean, to me, it blows my mind that the NHL has like the best replay still.
I mean, what is the difference between the NFL, the NHL? They just go over to the boards and
they
open
do,
headset
but
on.
It's all basically based out of like wherever it was. I don't know if it used to be in Toronto. I haven't been.
Well, this is based out of New York.
Yeah. Well. I'm just saying, instead of having to go over, look at the tablet. Somebody
they do the same thing in the NHL. They go over to the boards.
I guess. I think all these games, like baseball.
Well, in baseball, they just put the headsets on also.
I don't like the way it's done. I don't know.
All right. So Richard Sherman gets hurt last night, ruptures his Achilles. Like I was watching with my girlfriend. She's like, I don't understand. If he's out for the game and he's essentially dead, why do they keep showing him? And I'm just like, I don't know. So that was my answer to that. But that wasn't the only injury last night for the Seahawks. In fact, a lot of the controversy that I've read about this morning as we prep for the show was Russell Wilson, right? So Russell Wilson gets hit really hard in the neck and face area. And you just saw him like scrunching his face like, oh my God. And you didn't see it on the initial hit. When they slowed it down, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah, but you knew in that initial hit that he got rocked.
Because of that, you just looked at it, and you're just like, no, whoa, you know? So he got rocked on the initial hit. They slowed it down. You're like, oh, I see it now. He got completely rocked. So the ref, correctly and smartly and rightly, takes him off the field. He literally walks in the tent, walks out, puts his helmet back on. I'm like, that was like the fastest concussion test I've ever seen. And now this morning, rightfully so, they're getting a lot of crap for that.
Yeah, they are. They said the NFL's going to look into it. Like you said, he went into the tent. He didn't even wait for the team officials. He came out and said, I'm okay. And in the press conference after, he said it was more of a physical thing where he felt like his jaw might have been knocked out of place, but he felt completely clear-headed.
Yeah,
but, you know, but Arizona noticed because, like, the next two plays, they hit him really, really hard. They were trying to knock him out of the game.
Yeah, see, look, it's tough. The guy's a competitor. He wants to be out there. And I know you got to protect the players from themselves. And look, even that hit, you had to call the penalty on it because he did hit him in the lower neck area or whatever. But, I mean, even that hit, that's tough. That's football. You're going at him. I mean, I don't know. Look, he should have been looked at, but I understand why he jumped right back in.
Yeah, you know, I understand the competitor and the competitiveness of Russell Wilson jumping right back in there. But listen, just because it's Russell Wilson doesn't mean you should get a pass on the concussion protocol. It's not how this whole thing should work.
You're not above the protocol, you know. But it doesn't surprise me to his point that a player would do it. You know,
no, of course
he
not.
Came out. I'm fine. I'm getting back in the game. I'm not letting this team throw Austin Davis out there.
Indeed. So Russell Wilson last night throws for 238 and two, and the big play that everyone's going to remember is when he scrambled around and ran around and ran around and ran around and played a Doug Baldwin, which is blocking poorly on and. Baldwin just kind of scoots out the left side, and Russell Wilson kind of just throws it up. What we thought was he throwing it away to the, at least from my perspective, throwing it away. Baldwin wins a jump ball and runs 50 yards down the left sideline. Only get tackled at the one where he gets hurt.
Right. and, you know, he groin injury, but was able to finish the game. You know, as far as that play goes, NFL Next Gen Stats said he ran 31 yards while he was scrambling. That's why they calculate that. And look, I've seen Wilson make those type of throws before. It kind of reminded me to a degree in the championship game against the Packers in 2015 at the end of the 2014 season. He ran all the way to the other side of the field, scrambled, was going out of bounds, and threw the same kind of pass to Luke Wilson for a two-point conversion. So, you know, this is this is what makes Russell Wilson unique.
The Arizona defender just totally wiped himself out on that play.
Totally.
That was pretty hysterical.
You know, it's so interesting because as a fan of a team that has a quarterback that cannot move, like, you know, it's a statue, it's to watch the Bills quarterback and Tyrod Taylor, and specifically Seattle's quarterback and Russell Wilson, of course, Dallas and Dak Prescott, their ability to not just run, because that's not what they do. And Russell Wilson in particular doesn't look to run like a Cam Newton does by any means. He just extends the play, just like Dak Prescott extends plays. And Tyrod Taylor, he runs a little bit more than these guys. But it's remarkable to see how long you could extend a play where you have defenders in your face almost the moment you snap the ball. And while Russell Wilson, I believe, did like 5 sacks last night, where the defense actually played pretty well, I thought, that ability to extend the play, he's been doing that since his rookie year. It's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and they lost Wayne Brown last night to an injury, too, and they just acquired him. But, you know, to your point, you know, being a Seahawks fan for decades, this is, you know, why he's just my favorite player. It's like, because I had watched so many stationary quarterbacks before, pocket passers, and I always knew at some point, okay, the hit's coming, boom, he's going down.
Correct.
And to see plays extended like that, you're talking from a fan perspective.
Totally.
It's just, it's really, really exciting. And there are people that are not even fans of the team saying, like Chris Collinsworth was saying last night, this might be the most entertaining player to watch in the game right now.
Well, isn't that what makes Aaron Rodgers so great? How he
100%.
Yes.
Same thing.
You know, he just moves. He's not more. He just moves well in the pocket.
Correct. Okay, that's like he does it really well. Luck, when he's healthy, does it really well. Yeah. I think Carson Wentz has done a really nice job
Dak
with that
Prescott
as well.
Dak Prescott moves very nicely in and out of the pocket, too.
Absolutely.
I think Dak Prescott's more of a pocket passer than guys, than guys like Wilson and Rodgers, but I'm not saying he's not elusive, because he is.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
He's very mobile.
Yeah. So, that's the NFL. That's why I like the Giants, to just find somebody that can move. Rushing-wise, you're stupid. Listen, we've said this for 10 straight weeks, if not more. If you are investing in the Seattle running game, you are doing it wrong. We do not care if it is Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, J.D. McKissick, C.J. Prosize. You are wasting money. You are wasting roster space. You are wasting a spot in your starting lineup if you invest in anyone. And I don't want to hear another thing from Pete Carroll where, oh, this guy's the starter, we're going to give him the ball. I don't care. I do not care, Pete Carroll. I do not want to invest in your running back. It means nothing to me from a fantasy perspective. Thomas Rawls last night, 10 carries, 27 yards, multiple missed blocks again, and just an inability to do anything. I am done. I've said it literally before. I'll say it again. Do not do this.
I hope they listen to me, because I do have the answer. But you know what you're going to do? You know what they should do? They should take J.D. McKissick and make him a Theo Riddick. Don't even bother running the ball.
Yeah.
Throw it to him out of the backfield.
Yeah, don't run the ball.
Yeah.
Don't run the ball at all.
Yeah.
McKissick, 5 carries,
because
26
unless
yards.
Unless Chris Carson's suddenly coming back, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
C.J. Prosize, I said this going to break. This is real. He's hurt again.
Of course. But I told you, that dude is only good for flag football. If you tackle him, he's going to get hurt. That's his whole thing. That's it.
So he's been out with a right ankle injury for most of the season. He hurt a left ankle last night. And Pete Carroll is like, what the F, man? Like, this guy's incredible. They're going to cut this guy in the offseason. Pete Carroll is done with him, I think.
Yeah, McKissick is actually playing the role that they cut out for Prosize.
Yeah.
I'll give Arizona some credit. They kept running the ball, you know, even though I think
Peterson
got hit
20
like 12 times, you know, in the backfield on 21 rushes.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of crazy is that Adrian Peterson still can't catch the ball, by the way.
No,
he's been in the league 15 years. Yeah.
It was stunning to many last night.
Yeah, he said that he was going to have 500 yards receiving.
Yeah. It was stunning to many last night because he actually did catch a pass and, like, actually, like, wheeled out of a Cam Chancellor tackle. But
I saw that.
Yeah, but 21 carries for 29 yards. I said last night, Peterson ain't, yesterday, Peterson's not happening. And it was even more desperate than you thought.
You did say that, Scott.
Yeah, it's like you got 2 points from him, but then you lost that because of a fumble, and he also got tackled on a safety.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk about both teams' passing games. I think there's a lot to break down here. When we come back, it's Roto Experts. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you here on the Roto Experts. Feeling good, headed in to the weekend. Thursday night football, just a moment ago. What is so funny?
Nah, I was yesterday morning on the on Fantasy Football Frenzy. I was telling the story about the liquor store in my college town that sold to freshmen, even though they were fresh out of high school.
Sure.
And I got a message saying, when I heard you mention that, I almost ran the car off the road. Like, because he's been to the store before.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
nice.
So I was laughing at that.
That's nice.
So I'm just in my own little thing right now.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's not 7 o'clock yet. It's still me time.
Get shut down, Corey.
Excuse me, Scott.
They're gonna get shut down now.
Oh, no, this place that place been shut down.
Yeah. Burned down.
That makes sense.
It burned down. It burned down. I think we did it for the insurance money. I'm serious.
Probably so.
They used to have the gambling tickets and all of that in the joint. It was rumored that the Klan owned it. Yeah, we didn't care though. As long as they were selling that MD 2020, we was there.
Your money's green. We like that color.
Greg, you never had MD 2020?
Oh, I have. I don't want to have it again.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's
like flavored gasoline.
That's basically what it is. Legitimately.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the passing games of both teams, guys. Here. We'll start with Seattle. Doug Baldwin led the way, 5 for 95 on 6 targets. The long one, as we kind of mentioned here, was the Russell Wilson creation, throw it up to Baldwin, jump ball, run 50 yards. That's exactly what happened. Baldwin did his job. And then after that, it's really interesting. So Paul Richardson was limited snaps. He played like half the snaps total almost. Caught one pass for 43 yards. He's only targeted twice. Jimmy Graham was targeted 9 times. He caught 6 passes, but only 27 yards. I thought it was going to be a big game for Tyler Lockett because I thought he'd be moving around a lot. I thought he'd be avoiding Patrick Peterson. Yeah, the opposite happened. Patrick Peterson was all over him all night. One catch, 16 yards.
Yeah, this is with Lockett, you know, just why you can't really trust him as a fantasy starter. It's actually, you know, Wilson overshot him on a deep ball where he was in one-on-one safety coverage. But he's more useful as a real NFL player than he is as a fantasy player. I never feel comfortable rolling him out there. I thought this was the one week where maybe you could stream him. And again, you know, burned by it fantasy-wise. As far as Baldwin goes, you know, that 54-yard catch and run, you know, this is the kind of the kind of on-field relationship that Russell Wilson has with his receivers, the rapport that, you know, they very much have confidence in playing the 50-50 ball. You can see they work a ton on it with all of the receivers, and he just did a great, great job on that. As far as Richardson goes, you know, one catch for 43 yards, set up a score. When he's fully healthy, you can definitely roll him out there as a wide receiver 3. And as far as Graham goes, you know, this is, I know Corey's been having his eye on Graham all year and what he's doing. This is now 5 touchdowns in 5 games. And, you know, they're really getting that red zone rapport that they've wanted to get all along.
Yeah, nah, the son is, he's getting it done right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I didn't cut him for Luke Wilson back in week 2. I was close to it, though. You know what I'm saying? But now you're starting to see the rapport, the red zone action that we like. It's clear. One thing I like about Seattle for fantasy purposes, the pieces in the offense are clear. It's Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, and Russell Wilson. That's fool with nobody else. I mean, through bye weeks and stuff like that, you can spot start Richardson and stuff like that. But Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham, and Doug Baldwin go in your lineup every single week.
Well, what I really liked about Jimmy Graham, and this is the first time, and obviously I don't watch every Seattle game like you do, Scotty, of course, but when they got down in the red zone, it was just throw to Jimmy Graham and let him do his thing. And I felt like this is what we have been waiting for since Jimmy Graham arrived to Seattle, where just this trust inside the red zone that I felt literally taking 3 years to get to, where it's just, all right, we're out of the red zone. It's Jimmy Graham time. Let's not mess around. I'm going to take one step back. I'm going to throw it up to Jimmy Graham. I'm going to let him do his thing. And they did that twice last night. And I thought it was a really nice job by Russell Wilson in Seattle.
This is what
they brought
in the words
here.
Of Corey Parson, this is what they brought him here for.
Yeah.
Right? This was a reaction. I always believe that was a reaction to the play at the end of Super Bowl 49, because they didn't have a big red zone target and they had to throw the ball to Ricardo Lockett instead. You know, it's taken a while to develop, as you guys have said, but you know, this is what you want. Just give Graham a chance to just rip it away from the defender, which is what he did on one of these two touchdown passes. And in my mind, immediately after, you know, saying, okay, good touchdown, you know, et cetera, I said in my mind, you know, it takes me back a few weeks ago to the Julio Jones play against New England, where he ripped it away from the defender. You know, I know this is a little off topic, but, you know, the Falcons should be doing that with Julio Jones, too.
I mean, look, Corey's right. Jimmy Graham, after those first 2 weeks, he had less than 5 fantasy points in a PPR. Last 7 games, double digits in all of them. And 2 out of the last 3 games, 19.9 and 20.7. So, I mean,
I love it. You're right about that, and you better not say it.
One last Seattle note before we head on over to Arizona. Doug Baldwin said this, quote, Thursday night football should be illegal. I agree.
I mean, the NFLPA has got to get involved.
They have to.
They got to do a better job.
Have to.
None of these players want to do it.
Yeah.
The fans, for the most part,
they get
it. Really, we've had a couple of great games, I will say that, but for the most part.
NFLPA is the weakest union in professional sports.
It's unbelievable.
By far.
It's unbelievable.
Roger Goodell walk around, do whatever he want to do. They got these players play. You can have a Monday night game and a Thursday night game. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what? Go out there.
What about
you
a Tuesday night game?
Yeah, play that one too. You know what I mean? It's a shame how they were able to manipulate and maneuver the NFLPA. And now this thing with Jerry Jones and Arthur Blank. This is a disaster. What are they doing?
It's
6
crazy.
Players plus CJ ProSize injured for Seattle last night.
CJ ProSize is already.
That doesn't count.
That's why he said 6 plus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's why he said
CJ ProSize get injured.
But you know what? There's these injuries every week, these people. And, you know, I actually feel bad, in all honesty, deeper into the season as you get, 4 teams that play week 15 on a Thursday night. Like, these guys are worn down.
They are. But you know what? It just struck my mind last night. I was watching this. I'm like, this is... It's what they have in the preseason. These are scrimmages against each other, actually made into games, because, you know, you're scrimmaging on Thursday if, like, you're not playing on Sunday. This is practice that counts, sort of, you know, because everybody's in practice mode. If they were playing on Sunday, they would be able to rest Sherman more, but they had to roll him out there last
night.
There's
a way to do it. I mean, I don't want to see 18 games. You can't play 18 games. People can't survive 16-game seasons. But first off, if you did 2 bye weeks, number one, and you waited till, say, week 4, and when the bye week started, you did the Thursday night game, like coming off the bye or something.
Fine.
You know,
I'm
and
fine
then they
with
had
that.
Another 10 days. That's a way they could do it.
Agreed.
Know, and still get plenty of TV and all the money and all that.
There's no reason. And you know what? I've said this before in the show. Executives like Sean McManus of CBS has come out and said it. Like, listen, we pay for Thursday night because it's lucrative to us, but, like, we're losing money now because people are footballed out. They are footballed out on a Thursday night. And we've heard it from fantasy owners alike that, listen, we like watching football on Sunday, we like checking our lineups on the weekend. We like, you know, Monday Night Football is an institution. Like, we get it. We're going to watch Monday Night Football. We don't want this on Thursday night. We need a break. We want to just relax.
I hate having to play players on Thursday.
It sucks. It sucks. So, Thursday Night Football is the most obvious cash cow move by the NFL ever. And the NFLPA, you're absolutely right, the next CBA, they need to step up and go, we are not playing Thursday night. And you know what? As somebody tweeted out a little while ago, I forget who it was, they said, take the issue public, and the posting it behind them, like, they come out and be like, listen, we don't want to...
public may not get behind them, no.
Really?
Yeah,
the we don't want to hurt our bodies.
Nah, the public is going to be like, go out there and play. You get paid to play, go out there and play. That's how the public... That's the direction it seems like it's trending in now. You know what I'm saying? With the general NFL fan base, it's kind of like you're getting paid, go out there and play. But and I think that's what the public is... That's the thinking of the public. They really don't have a care for the athlete. It's more of a care for their fantasy teams and a care for them, you know, having some kind of some form of entertainment from these players.
You know, Richard Sherman actually said the exact same thing that Corey just said. He said that, you know, the fans don't care about, there are a lot of fans that don't care about, you know, the players themselves. They just care about, you know, their fantasy scores, et cetera. And I think, you know, we here, you know, we try to preach we're not like that. We don't want to see players get injured. You know, we do care about the athletes. It gives us the opportunity, you know, to play this sort of fantasy game and have fun with it. But, you know, I think there's a public perception, too, though, that a lot of fans, and I know we here always complain about it. I know Matt does about, you know, oh, it's going to be another Thursday night, you know, bad game, because these teams are not up to the same level that they are on a Sunday.
Yeah. But the only Thursday game I do want to, the only day that Thursday football should be played is on
Thanksgiving.
I love that. That
is much like Monday Night Football, in my opinion. It is an institution at this point.
Yeah.
Dallas has no issue with that. We know that. Detroit has no issue with that. We know that. That's it. Thursday Night Football on Thanksgiving is a thing. I also have no issue with those like random December Saturday games. Like,
I love those too.
I think that's cool too.
College football is over.
You get those 2 weeks with a Saturday game or two. I'm fine with that also. Yeah, you have six games.
New York and Washington normally play that Saturday game.
They did. Now they're playing Thanksgiving night.
Yeah,
that was the Tiki Barber game a few years back.
Oh, I remember that one. I was happy about that.
Which one?
The Tiki Barber game.
Put 200
something yards.
Sure, for 200 on him.
Do you remember the Saturday night game, Week 17, the Giants won the Super Bowl? Giants-Pats, they were undefeated. They played Saturday night.
That's
Giants.
Right.
Great Saturday night.
Yeah. Around the holidays, you want to see that Saturday.
Exactly. Night. I don't need this Thursday night crap where players like Richard Sherman are getting hurt and countless others. Thursday night football is stupid. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals for a little bit and project them going forward with Drew Stanton and so much more. It's the Arizona Cardinals next on the Roto Experts, presented by DX Racer.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
We're back with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Experts, presented by DX Racer. Remember, head on over to FantasyFactor.com if you are thinking of giving DFS a try. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. Free to enter. So sign up today at www.FantasyFactor.com. The Arizona Cardinals last night, and Drew Stanton in particular. Stanton threw for 273 yards, a touchdown. Somehow, Matt, he only wound up taking two sacks, where I thought he was just like getting demolished every play.
Yeah, you know what was crazy? I didn't really see much of the game. I saw more of the second half, and I did see the highlights. But what was crazy is like J.J. Nelson just dropped like every pass thrown to him.
Correct.
And nobody really helped this guy out. He did throw some bad passes, but there were plays that could have been made, in my opinion. Especially when you have a backup in there, it's on the receivers to step up and help him out and make plays. But yeah, no, two sacks. Arizona really had a chance to win this game.
They did. They were in this game for a while, and I thought that Drew Stanton had opportunities to make plays. He failed at them multiple times. Yes, J.J. Nelson dropped passes, but Drew Stanton overthrew wide receivers. He threw high. He threw low. He threw short. He threw long. He's not very good.
No, and, you know, they were getting a lot of pressure on him. There weren't sacks, but he took a ton of hits. And, you know, a few of those led to, like, you know, the sail pass, but a lot of them he just wasn't accurate on. But, look, they did get to, they did, he did score 17 fantasy points last night. There somebody actually desperately played him against him in my the dynasty.
That sounds idiotic.
Yeah. I mean, even John Brown was dropping some passes too.
They all drop passes.
He did have, as you said, he overthrew, underthrew, and there were some terrible passes. But there were some passes that were hitting hands and people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He did pad his numbers a little bit in catch up. But you know, this is when you put a backup quarterback in, you want him to do what Case Keenum or Jacoby Brissett does, not what Drew Stanton does.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that. Adrian Peterson last night carried the ball, as we said, over 20 times, 21 to be exact.
21 yards?
29.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's that's what it is.
Cam Chancellor blew him up on that series.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't count that one catch, I think, what did he score, like one fantasy point last
4.
night?
4.2.
4.2 because... because he had 20 rushing yards, and then he lost a fumble. It's like in his first carry of the game, he lost a fumble. And then he also got tackled for a safety. It's just like I was saying yesterday, I said, I didn't expect it to be quite this bad, 21 for 29. But I said, you know, I don't like starting Adrian Peterson this week. This front seven's too good against the run.
His defense, though. I mean, I think it was 12 times he was hit in the backfield.
Sure,
right, because that's how good that run defense is.
And you know what the worst part about it was? He didn't even get the garbage time touchdown. Like, that was the disaster of it all.
What if you rolled Ellington out there in desperation? Yeah, you got a touchdown.
You did better than I did, because when I play him, he don't score nothing.
I actually cut him yesterday in the league to pick somebody else up.
Good job.
It's funny, because this is fantasy football. I'm watching the end of this game, because I have Larry Fitzgerald. And I'm just like, I was literally laying in bed. My contacts are out. I'm just like, it's Larry. I think that's Larry.
Contact
Larry.
Latte in hand.
I can't wear contact lenses now. I can't wear contact lenses.
That's not the joke. The contacts is not the joke, Greg. Come on now. You're having a good time with you. Don't act like that.
The best is he doesn't even drink coffee.
I know.
Not a day in my life.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, I don't know how you get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm sitting there watching this game. Garbage time, and they get to the one. I'm like, these MFers are going to run the ball in. They're going to run the ball in. And then they do just that, and it's Andre Ellington. It's not even Adrian Peterson, which obviously stinks for the Adrian Peterson owner. What also stinks are for those that placed a wager on this game, Corey.
How'd it end up?
There's a blocked extra point on that play, and the spread, depending where you were, 5, 6. And here you go. They win by 6, Seattle, thanks to that blocked extra point.
Wow, that's crazy right there.
It's wild.
Gambling is a crazy little roller coaster ride.
That is for sure. All right, receiving wise. By the way, speaking of, we thought we killed the NFL over Thursday Night Football, and rightfully so. I'll say this. Moving the extra point back was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Awesome
that
rule. Because now it matters, right? Like, now it's not this. I mean, it's not a gimme. I mean, it should be hit every time, but it's clearly not a gimme anymore, which is
wasn't
cool.
Wasn't Belichick kind of the force behind that, basically saying that everyone's like, it's an automatic?
Right.
I like it, you know.
You were hitting it 96% of the time. Like, now it's significantly less, which is awesome. So that's a nice job with the NFL. All right, garbage time heroes. Let's start at the top. Let's start with Larry Fitzgerald. Larry had 10 receptions for 113 yards in this one on 14 targets. Going in to the final drive, as a Larry Fitzgerald owner, I know this, he had 4 receptions for 32 yards. On the last drive, or maybe the last 2 drives, 6 catches for 70 or 80 yards. It was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, when Sherman was out, like they it was much easier for them to complete passes, you know, especially, you know, playing in a hurry up style. So, you know, those are the perfect garbage time fantasy type paddings that you want.
And even though, so this was garbage time, and obviously Fitzgerald was targeted 14 times to lead this team, but he was targeted on, I believe, a third of Drew Stanton's passes last night. And we were worried about his value going forward, and he does still have a matchup With the Jaguars coming up in 2 weeks, which is obviously very tough. And then he has a matchup coming up against Josh Norman on the Redskins in week 15. But other than that, it's a nice little stretch for Larry Fitzgerald where you know they're going to throw him the football. If nothing else in this Cardinals team, they're going to throw the football to Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and with Stanton, that's going to be the guy he's going to go to for the most part. But I stated yesterday before the game that he had those two monster games where he put up like 62.7 points. And in the other seven games, he had 60.2 points. So he was really, he did the bulk of his damage in two games. And then last night, like you said, those final drives is where he got over 20.
Counts just the same.
Yeah, no, it's all, look, I'm not taking it away. I think he was going into last night was a number four or number five wide receiver.
There's going to be less consistency to his point. With Drew Stanton in there.
There is, but especially in a PPR more so than anywhere else, it has been relatively consistent. I think a little bit more, the Matt has said, at least catch-wise, right? Like, he's had three big games, 13 for 149, 10 for 138, and then last night, 10 for 113. But other games, it's against San Francisco, 5 for 70, that's okay. I mean, that's,
oh, yeah, no, he's gotten the double digits for the most part.
And from your wide receiver three, which is what you probably drafted Larry Fitzgerald, if you're going to give me double digits, I'm okay.
I'm going to take that every time.
I'm okay with that. And then next week, Larry Fitzgerald has the Texans, and it's just like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah, that's great. And even with
22 for 240.
This is nice. This is nice. So there you go. That's Larry Fitzgerald. The other wide receivers here, we knew this was going to be a struggle with Drew Stanton, and it was. You had John Brown. Oh, now I'm confused. It's John Brown had 2 for 27 on 6 targets. Both Jerron Brown and John Brown had 6 targets, so I was very confused which one was which.
Yeah.
But John Brown had 2 for 27. Jerron Brown finished with 2 for 13. J.J. Nelson drops a touchdown. He was 1 for 17, targeted 4 times. You can't start any of those guys with your standard as a quarterback. But my question to you, Corey Parson, is...
Yep, fantasy executive.
Yes, that's you. We're always looking for a tight end. Jermaine Gresham last night, 5 for 64.
Oh, no, hell no.
And a touchdown.
That was a great play. No.
Dropped
that was
another
a great
one.
Designed play.
Why are we talking about Jermaine Gresham?
Because backup quarterbacks love tight ends.
On the fantasy show.
Because backup quarterbacks love tight ends.
Not going to do it. I'm not giving no credence to it.
Touchdowns.
None whatsoever.
Touchdowns in both games your standard started this year.
Would you like me to leave?
That's how I feel. That's how it's I feel like. That's how I feel like you're coming at like you coming at me today. That. You know what I'm saying? No, do not ever put Jermaine Gresham anywhere near your fantasy football team.
I wonder if there's going to be a good Jermaine Gresham question. Is it Mike Lyon?
If I wrote it, it might have been. Did you know about Jermaine Gresham? You know how old he is?
34.
Jermaine Gresham,
28.
29. 29 years old.
Seems like he's been in the league for 15 years.
I thought he was 37.
Feel like he's been in the league
like a 34-year-old.
Pick for the Bengals. Bengals,
yo, he was amazing in Cincinnati.
He was amazing. We always thought he'd be better than he was.
Well,
hurt a lot in Cincinnati.
He has that athletic talent.
Correct.
That, you know what I'm saying? Like Jimmy Graham type athleticism. But Arizona's a place where tight ends go to die. When he first came into the league, he was but Jimmy
was
Graham
talented,
before Jimmy Graham.
As
far as physical talent.
No.
Jermaine Gresham was a first-round pick of Cincinnati.
First rounder.
And you know what's crazy? Like, when this dude with Arizona, I was like, oh, this guy, at the end of his career, he's just going to go to die in Arizona. Dude's not even 30 yet. That's crazy.
He's got twice as many touchdowns as Eric Ebron.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
That's crazy.
He's got 29 touchdowns in his career. He's making money. He's
probably got 30 receptions in his career, too.
He actually has 157 of them.
Wow. How long have you been playing? 15 years?
Eight.
15. A lot of that work was done with Cincinnati. Jermaine Gresham is not a thing. I can't do that. I'm not going to discuss Jermaine Gresham.
It's actually kind of crazy what Jermaine Gresham did in Cincinnati. I feel like I never wanted him. But like twice he had 60 receptions in Cincinnati.
He was good in Cincinnati.
Over 50.
I remember him having at least one good season.
He did.
He kept getting hurt in Cincinnati.
No, he didn't. He never played less than 14 games.
I do remember some injuries.
Not to Jermaine Gresham. In his career, he has never played less than 14 games in a season. Ever.
Okay. I guess I was wrong on that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like...
My memory's foggy on Gresham.
We all have these preconceived notions of Gresham. Oh, he's always hurt. Oh, he's 100 years old. Oh, he stinks. He doesn't.
Fantasy-wise, though, he's never been a thing since he left Cincinnati.
No, so. he hasn't. Yeah. No, he hasn't.
He spent a lot more time on Gresham than Corey wanted to.
Yeah, well... got to fill 3 hours of a program. So
how much Gresham? Should we do it for YouTube Live? Those, Jermaine Gresham, a retrospective?
Those 3 minutes.
A football life, Jermaine Gresham.
30 for 30. What if I was to tell you
that a man's career dropped off when it went to Arizona?
Maybe one day, guys. Maybe one day. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up our Thursday night football conversation here. And Scott Briggs wants to bring up a really good point, actually, when it comes to the Seattle defense. So he'll do that next. Then we'll get hour number two in just a little bit. It's the Roto Experts presented by DX Racer. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
With all the injuries coming out of Thursday Night Football, particularly on the Seattle side, Richard Sherman being the headliner, obviously, is ultimately that the Seattle defense really no changes. I used to, as recently as last night, look at Seattle and be like, oh boy, especially if you're the number one wide receiver, right? I'm a Larry Fitzgerald, owner. And, you know, you see Richard Sherman on the schedule and you're just like, crap. Like, if I could just... If I can somehow get my 10 fantasy points and get out of here, somehow, whatever, you move on, you're thrilled about it. This now all changes with the loss of Richard Sherman. Because I don't have whoever my number one wide receiver is, I'm not nearly as nervous. I'll use next week as a prime example. Sunday Night Football, Atlanta and Seattle. I have a Julio Jones owner. You see Richard Sherman, and especially knowing how the Falcons will avoid not just throwing Richard Sherman, they'll avoid throwing Julio Jones if that's how it's matched up. I'd be like, crap, I'm screwed. That has just all changed.
Yeah, usually they never play straight up man anyway. It's like, you know, traditionally it's been like, we're playing our defense.
Correct.
This is the mentality. We're better than you. You try to beat us. We're not changing anything schematically. Now, against the run, you know, you still got to look at the running backs and be like, oh boy, they're playing Seattle because the front seven is still excellent. But now that back seven become back, the secondary becomes something much different. The reason why that secondary is so good because you have three excellent defensive backs there, guys that may be going to the Hall of Fame. And if you take out any one of them, it has a domino effect that's detrimental. And now they might have to change what they do schematically because they can't line up and just say, beat us. It changed how Earl Thomas is going to have to play. When he comes back, he's going to have to give safety help all over the place. You saw with the Houston game and even with Washington on the final drive that this secondary was quite as not shut down as it was in the past because the side other than Sherman, you can attack. You attack Nickelback, you attack the rookie Shaq Griffin. He'll get a lot better, but he's taking his lumps this year. So now you can look at it and say, you don't have to look at it from a quarterback or receiver perspective and say, do I sit my guys because they play against Seattle? And by the same token, and everybody's always asking me, what rest of the season defense is there for the rest of the way?
Right.
I usually say, outside of, unless you got Jacksonville, you have Jacksonville, you really don't have a shutdown defense.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people just like got into a reflex over the years, like plug in the Seattle defense and just play them. You can't do that now.
I lost twice. I lost in the playoffs during the Seattle defense last year because it was stupid. And I was just like, oh, it's the Seattle defense. They played Green Bay, and I didn't care.
Yeah,
so I lost.
Look, there was no Thomas. I was saying, don't use him that week.
Yeah, it was a mistake. It was a mistake by me, and don't let it happen again.
Yeah, you can't just look at reputation. Mm-hmm. We were talking about trades, right? And crazy trades. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people look at reputation or what the name is, and it goes for a defensive unit as well.
Yeah, I think David Carr can say that correctly.
All right,
he's in media. I didn't know he was in media
on the NFL Network last night. I think he said it really well, where it becomes more of a vanilla defense, in the fact that Sherman shut down that one side, and it made the other, you know, it made everybody else play much better. It's still a good defense. There's still some good players here. As Scott said correctly, the run defense just keeps getting better each week. So I'm not going to just totally jump off Seattle, but it does take a major hit.
What you look for is sacks and turnovers from a fantasy defense. You'll still get the sacks, but now the turnovers, it might be more dicey. Well, I don't know if it's going to change, because Sherman shuts down the side of the field because nobody wants to throw there because the fear of getting picked. And it's you know, now these quarterbacks are not going to have.
Does that team win the division?
It's gonna come down to that game at home against the Rams, and with the way the Rams offense is playing without Richard Sherman back there, I think the Rams are going to win the division.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about all the headlines around the NFL, including the latest on Ezekiel Elliott.